All right, we're here with another episode of the Road Comics Guide. I am here today interviewing Erica Howler, the runner of Flag Laughs. Did your phone really just make a fucking sound in the middle of my goddamn interview, Erica?
It wasn't the middle, it's the start. I'll put it on silent. I'm sorry.
It's like La chingada way. I expected more professionalism.
I know. I have no professionalism. Except for Monday through Friday.
All right. So, I've actually met Erica up here in Flagstaff when I first started out. We met at Porky's, right?
We did meet at Porky's.
It was exciting. I know, I was pissed off because you went up and I'm like, fuck, this bitch is better than me.
I'd already been doing comedy for like 5 years at that point.
See, I wasn't used to that, though. I'm used to all the other Flag Laugh people who've been doing it for like a year and a half for a hobby.
Yeah. Sorry.
It happens. So exactly how long have you been doing comedy, Erica?
As of now, as of January was my 7 year mark. So like 7.5 years at this point.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Alright, what made you want to get into comedy?
I've always, like, I grew up in Michigan, and growing up, same old bullying and crap, and so I always wanted to be the funny one so that everybody would laugh with me, not at me. And, I worked in social work and customer service, and, social work was my last job. I did that for 6 years, and decided that it was time for me to do something different. So I moved to Flagstaff, Arizona, and one of my best friends had wanted me to try stand-up comedy previously, and the only place you could go was in Detroit, and it was 2.5 hours from my house, and you had to pay $250 for an improv weekend, and then with the chance that you would get on an open mic. Very, very weird. And it was the only comedy place in Michigan that I knew of. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And so when I was moving out here, my best friend had said, if you're moving to a different place and you're moving to Arizona, if they have comedy and they have open mics, I want you to go do comedy and try and see if you could do it. And so I always kind of wanted to. And I decided that I was going to look into it. And then one night I was doing karaoke at the Green Room. And it was a karaoke contest. And I sang a dirty version of Hit Me With Your Best Shot. And two of the girls on the panel refused to vote and give me a high score because they thought it was a dirty song, which it was. But that was the point. And then the two other people on the panel were guys, and they were in the band Whiskey Rodeo. And then they came outside and were talking to me and said they were doing an open mic and asked if I played any instruments. And my friend said, does skin flute count? And then they said, no, or they were like, yeah, that totally counts. And I was like, okay, well, then I play an instrument. And then they were like, do you want to do comedy? And I said, sure, I'll try stand-up comedy. And they're like, all right. So I went to their open mic because my friend Katrina picked me up from my house, drove me, dropped me off at the curb, and said, get the fuck in there. I'm going to park. She parked, came in, bought me a shot of Patron and a Blue Moon, and I got on stage.
Nice. I don't think I told you, but I kind of had a similar start, like getting dragged to an open mic. Like, I mentioned that I wanted to do it, and, like, my friends told me about the Run the Gays, which is now known as Flag Laughs, and I mentioned it to my friend Christina, and she got really excited, and, like, you know what my family's like, they're very negative and not supportive, but, like, she calls me, it's like, I found out it's on Tuesday, and I'm like, okay, cool, it's like, are you gonna go? It's like, I don't know, maybe. It's like, I'll think about it, maybe I'll go in 2 weeks, I don't know what I'm gonna say. So, 2 days later, it's Tuesday, she calls me, and she's all like, the open mic starts at 7, I'm on my way to your house to pick you up right now. It's like, what the fuck? So, she grabs me and takes me over there, it's like, do you need anything? And I'm like, tequila. So I also had some shots of tequila before I went up.
I think that's the best thing to do. I mean, if you're a drinker and you have any... I have horrible stage fright. I, like, hated talking and doing speech class and, like, getting up and talking in front of people. And I think that I was pretty much at some level of buzzed the last, like, 6 years. Well, the first 6 years. And then I tried it sober because I was a broke comic.
I remember I told you one time that you went because you went up sober because you were broke, and I'm like, I actually think that was one of your best sets.
Yeah, yeah. I got up there and I said that I was sober, and I was drinking water like tequila. And then, yeah, I actually remembered most of that set. I didn't just, like, sorry, my dog is barking in the background because he's protecting the house from...
The wind.
The wind.
Yeah.
There's nothing behind me right now except for my dog.
All right. So, what was your worst moment in comedy or, like, the most awful moment you've had so far?
I think I have a lot of awful moments in comedy, to be honest, but... There's actually two.
Okay.
Hold on. Chip! There's nothing there.
Just broken dreams.
I hear him too. Just let him go. He's on the other side of the fence. Pee on it. Good idea.
For those of you who can't see, because this is an audio interview... Told him to leave him alone, and now Chip's just pissing all over the fence in defiance.
He is. That's my dog. And I talk to him like a human, because I feel like he is my child, and this is how we react. We interact. So, my two worst moments. One was when I was on stage, and I was doing an open mic at Uptown Billiards, and... God, I'd only been doing it for, like, probably 4 or 5 months at that point. And I'm up there, and I'm trying to do my set, and I'm talking, you know, doing what I'm supposed to. And this girl, first of all, I don't drink water after somebody else. We've had this discussion several times.
Technically didn't drink any yet.
Oh, you haven't drank any yet?
Nah.
Okay, then I'll have some water. That's good.
That's why I offered it to you.
I have, for everybody else that doesn't know, I have horrible OCD and germophobia, and so I don't drink after other people. So anyways, this girl just starts being really loud, and she's sitting right up front, and there's only like 20 people like sitting up there listening, and I was trying not to engage her for the longest time, because earlier I saw her in the bar and she was crying in the bathroom because only two of her friends came out with her, and I found out it was her bachelorette party. So I'm up there and she's being loud, she's drunk, she's just like spouting off and saying things, and so I was like, you know what? Why don't we just talk about you? Like, obviously you're a chick and you want to talk about your feelings. And, so I was like, so why are you guys here tonight? And she's like, it's my bachelorette party. And I was like, why are you having a bachelorette party on a Monday? She's like, I'm getting married tomorrow. And I was like, you know, that's a Tuesday, right? And she said, yeah, I do. And I was like, okay, why are you getting married on a Tuesday? And then she was like, my mom just died of cancer. And I was like, all right, guys, have a good night. That's my time. I'll see. Like, I literally just, like, froze. Because I wanted to, my gut reaction was to respond and say, was this one of those, like, over my dead body kind of things? And then she died, and so you're getting married now? But I didn't, because I was trying to be nice. And so I just ended my set and left. That was probably the worst comedy moment for me. The second, I went up in it, I did a show at the Green Room, and with J.C. Anderson, actually, And I had invited a bunch of my friends. So I had a table of just me and my friends sitting right up front. And then another table on the side filled with some of my friends. And I went up, did my set. Great set. Everybody laughed. It was marvelous. I sit down. And the next comic to come up was some douchebag guy. I don't even remember his name. I just remember that he was, like, stocky. And really, like, he tried to do, like, shock comedy and stuff. And be, like, really just out there and just be, like, rude. And to this day, I can't even tell you what his name is. I don't remember. I blocked him out of my mind. But he got up there, and the first thing he started doing was dissing on me. He just got up there. My first experience with a Phoenix comic. He got up there, and he just started bad-mouthing me and talking about how, like, my favorite type of shot is a shot of ranch dressing and, like, talking about how heavy I was and I was overweight and blah, blah, blah. And, like, just projecting all this. And it was like, dude, first of all, I wouldn't fuck you with somebody else's vagina. Second, you have a grossly huge beard. You're just as big. And the first thing you do is get up there and start talking shit about me? Like, why can't you just do your own material?
Because your set wasn't well and he had to tear into you.
Yeah, so, like, just, like, I had a great set and then he just started tearing me apart. I think the best part about that was two tables right in the front got up and walked out. And then afterwards, he came up to me and was like, sorry that you got butt hurt, and then tried to give me his phone number. And I was like, are you goddamn serious right now, dude? Like, I just felt like I relived high school all over again with, like, the bully coming up and hitting on me, like, 10 years later, trying to, like, get with me. So that was probably my two worst experiences, I think. And the last one wasn't really bad on my part. Like, the guy didn't get very many laughs, and, I mean, you came to my town, where I've been doing comedy for at least a year or two, and then just started insulting me in front of everybody that came to see me, because they didn't know who the fuck you were. Sorry, I'm stealing my lighter back.
That's fine. Alright, what's your best moment in comedy thus far?
Damn. Best moment in comedy.
Question that always stumps the comedians. You ask them about their worst, and they can talk about the times they fucked up all day long.
Right, right.
Can you ask them about what they've done well or what they're proud of? It's like, I don't know, I'm a piece of shit.
I think one of my breakout moments when I started, because I've been doing so much comedy with JC Anderson and Anger Management and a bunch of different of his shows. And I really got into, like, a rhythm and really was having fun with it. And then I just got busy with work and I couldn't do a show. And then I just kind of stopped doing sets and stuff with him. And then I got the opportunity from not comedian, Rico. When Rico decided to start doing some comedy / rock shows, and he started doing them at Porky's. I think one of my breakout moments was the night that we had the Drunk Marine. I think that was pretty much, well, the show before that, I did, I was heckling some of the guys because some of the guys were trying to heckle me.
Yeah.
And I was doing crowd work, and I'm really good when I, like, improv and I can, like, riff off other people. And, riff, not rip off, to be clear. So I'd like tore this dude to shreds the first time I was there, and it was the owner and his family.
Huh?
And then they asked me to come back anytime I wanted to and were buying me tequila. So that was a good time. But I think my biggest breakout was the Marine guy, because it was a drunk Marine. He's sitting down front. He rode in with his friends on his motorcycle. They thought they were hot shit. He was just like, he was heckling, but not even a good heckle. He was just like making comments and talking to his friends while sitting like right in the front. And I engaged him. And then he started talking about being, like, a Marine, how he was from Yuma, and he was going to air conditioning school. And I was like, first of all, big bad Marine, nice to see you drinking out of a mini pitcher. Obviously, you don't know what a glass is, or a large pitcher, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And then I just started riffing on him and saying things like, you know, there's a lot of stuff I'd do for my country, but you're not going to be one of them. And, like, just ripped him to shreds for, like, 15 minutes. And it pissed some people off because they really wanted to hear my set. But then other people were like, you are now the heckle queen. And I think that was probably one of my biggest breakout moments.
I was there for that. It was magical. I am upset that I had to miss your set, though. But I did watch, like, watching you tear those jackasses apart. Especially after they were heckling the shit out of, what's his bucket before?
Yeah, they were heckling everybody.
Yeah.
I really liked...
Did I get heckled?
I don't remember either. I was pretty drunk that time. I was still in my drinking phases.
Well, I think I went up after you, but I was safe. I don't remember them heckling me.
No, I think I gave him enough that he finally shut up and, like, didn't know how to react. I don't think he's ever had a woman talk back to him before. Like, apparently saying I'm a Marine and I ride a motorcycle is enough to, like, make every woman swoon. I don't know. I was more of an Army fan, but...
400-pound man. Sorry.
Yeah, he was... He just thought he was great shit, and his friends all bought me drinks afterward, too. And were like, please continue to heckle him.
Nice. Yeah, no, I do like that about you, because there's a lot of, like, I hate to say it about my own kind, but a lot of female comedians, especially when they're starting out, they don't know how to respond to hecklers at first. And, like, I think what makes it worse is when guys heckle women, like, they always have to make it sexual, or, like, they say something, like, horrible or off-color.
Yeah.
So they're sitting there, it's all like, take off your top!
Yeah, well, and all my life I've had guys make comments, like, tearing me down to make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
And I'm a strong, confident person. I don't give a fuck what other people think anyways. I don't have a filter, and if I'm drunk, I don't have a conscience, so then I definitely don't care what people think. But, I think that women comics get a bad rap. They either are told, like... If you're up there talking about wanting to be in a relationship and finding a great guy and all this stuff, people classify you as a normal chick. And then you're just like a whiny bitch that always complains about stuff and talks about your relationship. And then if you talk about the fact that you don't have feelings and emotions and you don't want to have, and you just want to have casual sex and you don't want the guy to stay over and you want to do exactly what the guys do, which is fuck them and dump them, then you're considered a whore or slut. And so, you know, and then if you're not skinny, then you're just shit, and you get called out. There's so much, like, online and in-person bullying of women comics in general.
Yeah, that being said, you're actually the first female comedian that I've gotten an interview on this podcast so far. All the women I've asked so far were either too busy, like, grinding or various other things.
Yeah, well, I just got out of a relationship, so I'm free.
For those of you dirty-minded motherfuckers, not, like, grinding on a pole, like, they're actually hardworking and they bust their ass.
Right, right.
And they're, like, the more successful of the comedians. Another thing I've noticed is a lot of the female comedians, like, identify as feminist, and then there's, like, the branch who doesn't identify as that because they don't want to be labeled a man-hater by the men comedians. So, like, there's that whole fucked up balancing act because, like, I do view myself as a feminist, but, like, I don't sit there and, like, jam it down people's throats.
Right. I think there's got to be a healthy balance. I mean, I think that women comics have been... in the mix for so long, and they've been, like in every profession, they've been treated unequal for so long, and I think there definitely needs to be a healthy balance of, like, what people see as female comics. I think that female comics can be strong and independent and equal in being funny and not have to, I guess, do shock value comedy.
Yeah.
And, I definitely think that, I would consider myself a feminist as well. And I've made some jokes, in regards to, like, feminism and, like, women get the right to vote, in 1920. And apparently that's when men decided to start having feelings and emotions. And just in the dating scene and stuff. And there's a lot of female comedians. Whitney Cummings and Amy Schumer, I value them pretty... I followed them pretty hardcore for quite some time because I thought that they were... They kind of broke away from the standardized trying to find a man comedy and or the outright just shot comedy.
Yeah, now, my female comedian who, like, broke through, because, like, I told my mom, it's all, like, I thought it'd be cool to be a stand-up comedian, and my mom was like, oh, no, mija, women aren't funny. It's like, you're funny, but, like, women aren't funny for comedy. And I'm like, oh, okay. Which, again, to this day makes no fucking sense to me, because that bitch was hysterical. And so are the other women in my family, for that matter, but they're, like, a mean kind of funny.
But, like, I mean, there's a lot of female comics that don't get enough credit, like... Yeah. Carol Burnett was amazing. She was definitely a blaze burner for a trailblazer, however you want to put it, for women in general in comedy. Yeah.
Lucille Ball, Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
Sarah Silverman, what I like about her is, like, she started off with a kind of, like, shocking, like, sense of humor and shit, too. But, like, is it just me, or does she get better every stand-up special?
Every time she's I see like Sarah, I love Sarah Silverman,
she's, like,
too.
The Benjamin Button of comedy for females. Like, she started off, like, okay, this is funny, and this
Betty,
is awesome.
Betty White, 90-year-old woman talking about still having sex, and, like...
Her show, Off the Rockers, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
God, did you ever watch Lake Placid?
Yes.
I loved her in that movie so ardently.
So, yeah, I would have to say, like, Lucille Ball is up there, too. But definitely Carol Burnett, Betty White, Sarah Silverman, Whitney Cummings, and Amy Schumer are probably, like, the most recent kind of comics that I followed and that I really like. There's some that I don't really follow. There's some that I've heard of that I haven't really seen a lot of their stuff. There's a lot of women in stand-up these days. So it's nice. It's a good, positive thing. I'm glad that I'm your first female comedian interview. Only because I'm available. I'm just kidding.
That's not the reason. You're just the first one who said, like, yes. Other women said yes, but then they're like, oh, I can't do it. Or, like, yeah, I'll interview you. And it's like, actually, I'm going to go have drinks with my friends instead. Is that cool? It's like, yeah, that's fine, I guess. Okay. But,
women are busy. We're trying to rule the world.
Oh, yeah. With our vaginas.
Yes. And our intelligence and common sense and...
Mostly the vaginas, though. Just kidding. No.
A little with the vagina, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I showed my mom Lisa Landry, because I saw her do stand-up comedy. And, like, as soon as I saw her, I'm like, oh my god, she's fantastic. And I fell in love, because I was watching all this, like, stand-up comedy, and, like, whenever there was a female comic, like, I almost didn't want to watch their specials, because, like, they were joking about things I couldn't relate to, because I was a tomboy at the time. And, yeah. Like, a virgin, and I didn't drink or do any of this other stuff.
How old were you? 6?
No.
I'm just kidding. I know that you were.
I think when I first saw Lisa Landry, I was, like, 15 or 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always been a fan of comedy, no matter if it was male or female, to be honest. And it's a great therapeutic thing, and... I know. I always get asked the question of how I come up with material. As a woman, how do you come up with so much material? And I was like, well, this is going in there. as a human, how do I come up with material would be a better question, because it was like, it's almost like condescending, like, as a woman, do you have thoughts and feelings? Like, no.
I get my material where I get all my material. Joanne Fabrics. For some quilting.
Right. Can't sew a fucking button on anything. I gave up on a tie blanket. Who does that? Can't even... I'm like the most OCD person in the world. I started doing one of those fucking fleece blankets. And you just,
yeah.
All you have to do is cut... And then tie. And yeah. It started going crooked and I just stopped.
See, it's funny because a lot of people get thrown by me because my mom did teach me how to do, like, all that womanly shit. So I can actually follow a pattern. I can put in a zipper. I can hem clothing.
Yeah.
I can sew. I can crochet. I embroider.
I was a complete jock growing up. And I had an older brother and I hung out with men all the time. And I was complete tomboy and... one of the boys for the longest time. My mom never really sewed. Like, she can, but, like, I don't remember, like, my mom sewing costumes or anything, or, I mean, no fault to my mom. She was a single mom trying to, like, provide for a child that was pretty much a shithead. And, my brother was great. I was just a shithead. I was a horrible teenager. I was a horrible, horrible human being growing up. I was angsty and angry and dealing with a bunch of therapy stuff. And so she put up with a lot. But I think the funniest thing my mom ever said, she came out here for Thanksgiving last year. I always told her I wanted to do stand-up comedy. And she always said, but you're not funny. Like, you're no Bob Hope. And I was always like, I don't want to be Bob Hope. Like, I don't want to be Bob Hope. I want to be somebody else. And that was always her joke.
Be Erica Haller.
Yeah, exactly. And then when she was coming out here, I was like, hey, we're going to do Thanksgiving dinner just the way you taught me. And she's like, you guys have Schwan's out here? Like, she used to just get the frozen turkey breast and put them in the crock pot. And that was our Thanksgiving turkey. But, yeah, I was never raised very domestic. I was raised very liberal and very much, like, always had a job, always going out and doing stuff, and paid for my whole way.
Right. I think, like, by the time I was 18, like, I was well-rounded. Like, I still loved to, like, hang out with the boys. I was doing martial arts. I did Girl Scouts. I'd go on backpacking trips, but I also knew how to sew and cook and clean. Granted, I don't clean up after myself.
I know how to clean, and I know how to cook.
I know you know how to clean, and you are a great cook.
I do have that under my belt.
That's
because I was a picky child, though. My mom always told me I either had to eat what we were eating, or I'd have to make my own. So then I just started to learn how to make everything that I wanted to eat, so.
Fair enough. My mom, whenever she found a new boyfriend, she'd kind of, like, disappear for a couple days to a couple weeks at a time, and she'd leave us with, my sister Sarah, who loves to brag to everybody. It's like, I practically raised my siblings. It's all like, well, my brother was addicted to meth for a little while, and I'm a fucking bitch. I wouldn't brag about raising us. But the other thing is, she didn't raise us. She locked herself in the bathroom and listened to Evanescence all day. So, like, I learned how to make ramen and sandwiches, so I was, like, the one feeding my brother and his friends for a little while. Whenever my mom was gone. But I forgot where the fuck I was going with that, honestly.
I have no idea either. You're the interviewer.
I am.
I don't know much.
Speaking of not knowing much, just kidding. No, I got this a lot when I went down to Phoenix, and, like, well, up here I got it too, but, like, all the men were like, oh, it's great to have a female comedian. It's all like, yeah, it's like, it's wonderful. Or, like, I go down to Phoenix, it's like, oh, you're one of the funny women. It's like, most of the women here aren't funny. It's like, maybe you just don't get their sense of humor because you guys have very different lifestyles. It's all like, okay. It's like, but this bitch isn't funny. It's like, you're right. That particular bitch isn't funny. But what about these bitches?
Yeah, I like the fact that I have tits and that makes me seem funnier.
Yeah.
I guess.
Right. So, what advice would you give to comedians, like, starting out, or what's some advice that you've received that you'd want to relay to our listeners.
I received no advice when I started doing comedy. I received none whatsoever. I just want to, like, go on the record, like, I mean, J.C. Anderson was great. Like, when I started out, he actually did open mic at the Green Room one night. And he just did an open comedy mic night for comedy only, and hence comedy open mic night. But he invited me to come out, said he was having some other comics come out, and he wanted to see how he did. And it was me and, like, two other dudes. And one dude got up and talked about being a father and raising his children by watching Star Wars. And I was just like, there are six people in here, and no one is laughing, dude. Like, you can't talk about, like, you have to know your audience. Don't just keep talking. But, so I didn't really, I mean, I think JC, like, didn't really give me a lot, like, nobody gave me a lot of, like, advice, really. They just kind of threw me on stage and said, do your thing and see how it goes. I mean, I don't really remember. I mean, when I told people that I did stand-up comedy, I got lots of advice. Yeah. One truck driver at my old job when I was a server right near the interstate, a truck driver came in and was like, you do stand-up comedy? Let me give you some advice. Because nobody takes advice or gives advice better than a truck driver.
Okay, I have to ask, does he have any stand-up experience as a truck driver?
No.
Okay.
He has a satellite radio that he occasionally listened to stand-up. So I was like, let me get a pen. No, I don't take advice very well either, but especially from people that don't know anything about comedy.
Yeah.
Because normally those are the two things you get. You either get, let me tell you what makes somebody good at comedy, and then you get, I've always wanted to do stand-up. That would be like...
Yeah.
Of course, everybody can do stand-up. But the advice he gave me was, you know, you probably should just get up and give one-liners and just dumb it down for people since you're a woman. And then he said, not all great comics are storytellers. And I was like,
you're a storyteller.
Okay. Thanks. Like, but I didn't, like, go and throw out my whole entire career to dumb down and be a dumb woman telling stories. Like, I don't get it, but I literally, that's all I do is tell stories. I tell things based on my life. Like, everything that I talk about has happened to me at some point. Some of it's funny and some of it's not. Some of it's funnier because it's true. So I guess that was really long-winded. I'm so sorry.
That's fun.
My advice to new upcoming comics is this. Don't think it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
Don't think that you're going to make a shit ton of money and be super famous anytime soon. Get used to paying for your own drinks. Be relatable. Make sure that you do... Don't go home and sit down and plan out a whole entire set for your first time that has nothing to do with your life. Always be relatable and always do comedy based on your life. When you get big and famous, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You can have special writers that write you stuff that has nothing to do with your life. But when you start out, definitely always do things that are relatable and have to do with your life. Because the best stories are the ones that come from truth and past and history. And, I mean, you can talk about politics and things as long as, like, it's relatable. I'm a firm believer in knowing your stuff before you get up on stage. Try to, like, I don't keep notes, but that's just because I can't read from a distance, is what I meant to say. I don't do set lists. I have occasionally written keywords down on a post-it note. when I'm doing comedy, but, like, I think that if you have a, like, a list, like, 1 through 10 kind of list of, like, things you want to talk about, and you take that with you on stage, when you get nervous and you go to that, if you're not getting laughs, and you just keep going to joke, to joke, to joke, to joke, and not flowing with the audience, I don't think you're going to make a good comic. So the other piece of advice is know your audience, play to your audience, and try and have any backup information. I think being spur of the moment and improvising a little bit kind of helps. Because there's times I've went up and just, like, started talking.
Yeah.
And nobody's laughing. And I was like, so it's just me. Okay, cool. Like, and then try and, like, play off that a little bit. Or play off the fact the crowd isn't laughing, like, are you guys dead? Did you not get enough drinks? Things like that. So, definitely know your audience. Yeah. I think that's all my advice.
This conversation didn't make me nervous at all. I have a 3-page set list for tomorrow's gig that I'm studying. I'm not going to take it up with me.
See?
But for open mics, it is okay for you to take up a set list to go through and practice your material. But for, like, a booked show or a paid show, probably not the best idea, but there are comedians who do it.
There's a lot.
It works.
So
there's always an exception to the rule.
Yeah, to me, that's what works the best. I've seen comics go up with set lists and do fine. I've seen comics go up with set lists and then be like, what else do I have? And, like, turn and look over it. Like, you got to try and keep it smooth. And I think that, I mean, you wanted advice what I think would be a good comic. I mean, other people have different things.
I mean, somebody's going to have different
advice
from you.
Whoever is listening to this anyway could just be like, this girl...
At the moment, nobody.
Right. Well, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, somebody's going to hear this podcast and just be like, this girl is full of shit. Fine. Don't listen to anything I have to say. Be like everybody else in my life. It's totally fine.
I think the best advice that you can, like, take is you don't have to take any of the advice you're given. Just
right.
Keep it in mind.
Right.
But, I think you did give a lot of really solid advice, and it's nice to have somebody who's, like, confident with the advice they give. Thank you.
Confident, and I don't give a shit what other people think, so.
Exactly.
You know, that's kind of also a pretty big key, is if you're going up to do stand-up, I treat stand-up like I treat karaoke. I pretend everybody is drunk, and I don't care about their opinions.
There you go.
Don't ever picture the audience naked. That's, like, the worst advice I think anybody's ever given me.
Yeah, I get distracted, and then, like, I'm flooding my pants. I have to wear a panty liner.
Yeah,
so,
it's rough.
Yeah, especially if there's actually good-looking men and women folk in the audience, and there normally is.
Yeah, that does tend to happen.
Yeah.
And also...
Don't fuck the wait staff.
Don't fuck other comedians. Just kidding.
Fuck you.
I can't...
She's right, don't fuck other comedians, but I don't practice what I preach.
Don't fuck other comedians on stage or off stage.
What if it's a skit?
I have no advice for that. You're gonna fuck a comedian on stage for a skit?
I don't know, I like to keep my options open.
Alright, that's fair.
Worst case scenario, follow me to see what not to do in comedy. But don't fuck people with tramp stamps on their face.
That sounds like you're getting a little personal.
Not at all.
No, but because the only reason I think that you shouldn't sleep with comics is because most of my material comes from my relationships and my dating and my lack of dating and my casual sex. And if a comedian is bad in bed, I'm going to go talk about it. And if they're there, then I'm... Sober Erica might feel bad about it.
That's technically one of the reasons they say you shouldn't fuck other comedians, because they'll write a 5 about you. So they'll do a 5-minute set about you.
That's true. Or they'll take you on dates for free drinks at an open mic or something.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, comedians, please do not take your first date to an open mic, because that's just going to end with it being awkward. You ever saw that episode of Seinfeld when that girl breaks up with him because she doesn't think he's funny? That's what's going to happen to you.
Possibly.
Like, if you guys are in love and she's seen you naked and she wants to stay with you, or he, vice versa, then you can take them to the open mics because they love you and they want to be there to support you.
Yeah.
But don't take somebody you just fucking met. It's like, I do comedy. Do you want to watch me do comedy?
My ex saw my comedy before we started dating, so I pretty much, he knew everything was fair game at that point. Like,
well, that's different.
But, like, but yeah, no, I am a strong believer in the coyote ugly rule. Don't bring your significant other to your place of work or business.
Yeah, and it's perfectly acceptable to gnaw your arm off to escape.
That is also true.
Yes.
It is also true that you can make up fake pictures of your cats to get out of a date or a relationship.
There you go.
Yes.
I always go with honesty is the best policy, and just say it's like, this isn't working for me. I find your entire personality odious.
Yeah, and then they're like, but your king-size bed is so comfortable. And we're just like, dude, we just met. See, and I don't want to see you again.
That's on you, Erica. You have a king-size bed. I have no bed. If they want to fuck, they better be prepared for rug burn.
I know. I had a full-size bed. It was perfect because nobody could stay over. And then I got a boyfriend. And he fucked up my whole casual sex.
It was actually funny. This guy, he, like, goes home with me and, like, I didn't know we were going to have sex. We were, like, just hanging out. I didn't know that was on the agenda.
It's like traveling comedian podcast / sex talk.
Yeah. It's like, you're learning the important shit right now. If you're going to listen to any interview, listen to this one. And the one with Zachary Fish once I figure out how to fucking upload it. Because that's a beautiful interview. But, yeah, no, so he goes in and he sees I don't have a bed. And he's all like, where do you sleep? I'm like, in the closet where the carpeting is. I can get you a bed. I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, seriously, I will go out and buy you a bed. It's like, I don't need a bed. It's fine.
I know. Now I'm, like, an independent single woman, and I have two roommates, and I have decorated my whole house.
Yeah, so it's people welcoming.
Know that, I know. People know that I try now.
You fucked up. You need to, like, put some tacks on the couch so they know they're not welcome to sit down.
Right.
You need to, like...
I mean, I hide my toaster so they can't, like, warm up their Pop-Tart.
Exactly. The point is, don't even give them Pop-Tarts, Erica. If you feed them, they don't want to leave.
Only if they're homeless.
Okay, I'll follow some advice there. Don't fuck homeless people.
I feel like giving them a little fiber and some vitamin C on their way out the door.
Okay.
Gives them something to portably eat as they're leaving.
Nice.
And then they don't expect, they'll be like, oh, she only gives out Pop-Tarts. She obviously can't cook breakfast.
Especially some solid advice.
Yeah.
All right. So, you do run Flag Laughs.
I do now run Flag Laughs on the Facebook page and the
Oh, and you're technically group. The first female comedian to run this establishment.
I am the first female comedian to run Flag Laughs. I am the only Flagstaff female comedian to run an open mic and the exclusive only open mic for comedy exclusively in Flagstaff.
Exactly.
I've used exclusively way too many times, but anyways.
It's fine. Exclusively.
Yes, I do run.
What advice would you give to somebody, like, running a mic or, like, hosting? I know you just started, but, like, what are some troubles you've, like, come up with?
So, I've hosted shows before. I hosted hosted a couple anger management things, nights. And the funniest thing that ever happened, like, first of all, memorizing my set, not a problem. Memorizing comedians' names and their, like, resume that you're supposed to introduce them with gets a little more complicated, depending on how famous they are, like, how much stuff they've done.
Yeah.
Because this guy, Brian, that I'm still friends with, he's been on, like, Last Comic Standing, and he's done some other things. Like, other people have been on Last Comic Standing, and they've toured with D.L. Hughley and a bunch of other people. And so, like, sometimes gets a little long-winded. But I also learned to say the next comedian. What did I say one time? Our next presenter, I think, is what I said. And I was like, why did I say presenter? Like, I got nervous. And I said presenter. So, I think, be clear. If you're hosting, be clear. And you've got to try and keep the audience entertained. So, like, in between comedians, instead of just being like, all right, let's give it up for them. Now we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I think interjecting a little bit on what other comedians have talked about and stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of helps keep the flow going. So I definitely think for hosting, you definitely need to keep the flow going. You have to keep the energy up. Especially last week, man, out of nowhere, we had 12 comedians at an open mic. And we had a packed house.
See, this just, like, blew away all the Phoenix comedians' minds, because they're used to 40 comedians and 2 non-comedians watching.
Yeah, it was... I mean, for such a small venue and just doing it in Flagstaff,
yeah.
We, like, previously we had, like, 5, maybe, mm-hmm. tops for comedians. So, getting 12 and having a packed room was pretty impressive. So, yeah, I think, especially then, because you're doing from 8 to 10, you're literally doing 2 hours of straight on comedy, and you're like trying to keep mm-hmm. everybody motivated and not falling asleep.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be my advice for hosting. I don't have any advice for running Flag Laughs, for like running a comedy group, or not yet. I'm working on it.
Well, I'll come back eventually and we'll do another interview. Maybe in September. I'll be back for a big time.
Where are they now?
Yes, we'll be doing Where Are They Now interviews, depending on how far I get. So, to find out about events for Flag Laughs and like shows, where can these fine folks go?
There is a Facebook page called Flag Laughs, and it's spelled FLAGLAFFS, which looks like Flagstaff, but it's Flag Laughs. And I tell everybody it's because men used to run it and they didn't know how to spell the correct way to spell laughs. But it's really, I'm pretty sure, a play on Flagstaff, Flag Laughs.
I think you're giving them too much credit. Just kidding. No.
I know, right? I probably am. I have no idea. But,
I believe that Dan Ziffer came up with the...
came up with Flag Laughs?
Yes.
Well,
like,
kind of...
if it's a play on words.
Yeah, if it's... yeah.
We know Justin Regan can't spell. Anybody who's messaged him.
Journalism major, and I've had the worst messages back and forth with him.
Yeah, and then, like, I'll send him a message, and I'll be, like, half asleep, or, like, I'll push some wrong buttons, and it's all, like, I didn't understand your text, and it'd be, like, one or two words misspelled. I'm like, really? It's like, all right, my bad.
But, yeah, so Facebook, they can find it on there. They can also look up Erica Haller on Facebook. I have a messenger, and people have found me on there. That is the best way to find me. Either of those two places. I'm not going to just publicly put my cell phone number out there, but...
fair enough. All right. So, they do open mic comedy every other Thursday, starting at 8 o'clock. The list comes out at 7:30.
Yep.
And it is at Southside Tavern.
Exclusively at Southside Tavern.
Exclusively at Southside Tavern.
Just for anybody that has performed at Fire Creek before, Fire Creek has... no longer has an events person or a promoter, and their owner is doing all of it. And he sent me back a wonderful email, by the way. If we wanted to do comedy there, we could pay $200 for the venue, and then we get to keep everything that comes in the door, and then they get to keep all the liquor sales.
Aww, what a generous offer.
Yep.
All right.
It's like your ex breaking up with you and giving you a bottle of tequila and then being like, for $50, I'll fuck you again. Like, no, I'm good.
Now that sounds personal, Erica.
Yeah. Just a bottle of tequila. He didn't offer sex.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add? Any upcoming shows?
Yes, we have. Well, tonight, actually, I'm getting ready to go to the Gringo Diaz food truck
farewell party
in an alley. Never did I think I was going to aspire to perform for free in an alley.
I didn't know you could party in an alley without Coke, to be honest.
I mean, I don't know who perform. I mean, I know women that might perform in an alley, but normally they're paid for it and they're on their knees. But,
you know, I'll leave my mother out of this.
I wasn't bringing your mother up. I didn't mean to bring your mother up at all.
I'm just kidding, folks. She's dead.
Oh.
Continue.
So dark. But,
you know I'm dark.
Yeah, so it's I'm performing there tonight at 9. And then tomorrow night we have our first summer showcase kicking off with you headlining.
That is true. I will be headlining. So if you want to watch somebody not do something correctly for 45 minutes without having to fuck your boyfriend and pay $5.
Yeah, it's $5. We're starting off slow. We're probably going to be changing some of the door covers and like what we're getting depending on how our showcases start performing and stuff. So we have that show tomorrow night, 7 to 9, at Southside, and then July 23rd, which is a Monday, Southside Tavern is opening up their doors for us so that we can do another showcase featuring Matt Zemek and his friend Patrick, who I can't remember his name.
I was going to say Patrick Bates, but isn't that the guy from American Psycho?
Maybe. Hold on, I got it. Patrick Hasty.
Hasty.
He's a comedian from Glenwood, Iowa. He lives in Brooklyn, New York, and he's been touring all over the country. And he has done some stuff, some festivals and things. And he and Matt Zemek, who's from Tucson, Arizona, are going to be here July 23rd. And I will be hosting that event. And then, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, a week from this coming Thursday, we will have open mic again from 8 to 10 at Southside as well. And then every other Thursday after that. But yeah, I'm hoping to do some amazing stuff with Flag Laughs. I'm hoping to get some more pictures of some of the comedians that go on for open mics. I'm going to get some pictures and hopefully live stream some of the stuff for open mics. And I might do some live streaming tomorrow night for the comedy, and put it on Facebook. And, yeah, I'm hoping we're going to move upward and onward, and then we'll be able to do things like team up with Jester Comedy Productions and do things with NAU and stuff like that and kind of get out there a little bit more. And we will probably be at Big Pine in September.
Woo!
Doing something. I don't know what with you. I might be putting out chairs. Who knows?
Which I believe is the 19th through the 22nd of September. And their lineup is already out if you want to get an idea of who's going to be there.
That is true. I am not on the lineup. But
Neither am I.
I'm gonna sneak in and see what happens. Go to the Little Pine and do some open mic, maybe.
Which is my plan as well, assuming I don't get stranded or murdered by a hitchhiker in Vegas.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Not for those things to happen. So, yeah, that is everything.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for the interview.
And you guys, we also have a blog webpage, roadcomicsguide.blogspot.com. That didn't fuck that up at all. And we have our Facebook page if you can like us, and you can listen to this interview on CastBox. All right, y'all have a good night.